Hello again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Freedom's Creed. Today is August the 9th, 2022. And what a start to the week. We have a former president whose residence was overrun by members of the FBI. And regardless of your political persuasion, this is an unprecedented act that has taken place on a former president. It seems evident to me that there is a two-tiered system of justice in the United States today. There have been examples of people in the other party, meaning the Democrat Party, who, let's just say, had an equal opportunity to be, let's say, invaded by the FBI, but lo and behold, they never have been, and likely never will be. And that is unfortunate in our country. Our system of government was never meant to be like this. And as I said, it doesn't matter what your political stripes are. Anyone and everyone who is concerned about the direction of our country should be concerned about what happened on the 8th of this month, which was yesterday, to the former president. Now, again, I don't care where your politics are. I really don't. What I care about is justice. And what I care about is equal protection under law. That's what our Constitution affords every citizen. And if the government, this particular government, this administration, can go after a high-profile target like Donald Trump, what do you think they can do to you? An average citizen trying to make your way every day to work hard, to provide for your family, to obey the law, to do all the things that are right. What do you think that portends for you as an average citizen, or for me as an average citizen? Well, to me, it's a little bit disturbing. And frankly, I've heard people tell me that it's frightening and scary. And really, it is. Because if the government can do what it does to its citizens with impunity, and they can, they tax us to death, they waste our taxes on the most frivolous and idiotic things that you can imagine. And the really sickening part about all of this is that they continue to do it year after year, decade after decade. It's really hard to stomach sometimes. Well, who am I kidding? It's hard to stomach all of the time. My goodness. Now, I'm a really small-time podcaster, no doubt about it. I'd like to make it different, and I'm doing my best to do so. And one day, perhaps, there will be a lot of people who will hear what I have to say. Today, I'm talking about class warfare. And the angle that I'm going to approach this today is through the prism of communism or Marxism. One and the same, really. I'll be doing some comparing and contrasting, and I will probably offend some people. Other people, it may just confirm what they already believe. And I suppose that all I can say if one is offended is, and I mean no disrespect here, but be offended. I can't help that. The potential to be offended always seems to be there. And as I said, I can't control that. So if someone is going to be offended, then, well, I guess they'll just have to be offended. There's nothing I can do about that. So I beat that horse to a pulp. So let's move on. In the mid-19th century, there was a man by the name of Karl Marx, and he was, by all standards, an elitist. He had a PhD, and he wrote a document called the Communist Manifesto, together with a man by the name of Friedrich Engels. And this document, I believe, was written in the late 1840s. The foundation for the Communist Manifesto was class warfare. It was pitting one group of people against another. Does that sound familiar to any of you? It should, if it doesn't. In any case, the proletariat was a group of people who were a social class of basically wage earners. They were a labor class. They had the capacity to work, and the only means of their economy really was their ability to work for someone else. The other class of people was, of course, the bourgeoisie. They were a middle to upper class income earners. And in Marxist orthodoxy, the group that is opposed to the proletariat. Now, their economy was motivated by private property, or in other words, capitalism. And as I mentioned, Marx was a very educated individual. He ultimately received a PhD. You could consider him the father of the 20th century communist leader. Any communist leader of the 20th century pretty much took their marching orders from Karl Marx. And of course, Stalin was no different. He was a Marxist intellectual, and he believed in class warfare, by all means. Now, let's fast forward to the 21st century, or today, and look at our two-party system with Republicans and Democrats. Historically, both the Democrat Party and the Republican Party have had quite the evolution. Democrats favoring slavery back in the day, the creation of the KKK. Republicans, or the Party of Lincoln, were responsible for the abolition of slavery. And not until the 1960s was the Civil Rights Act passed, which, I might add, if it had not been for the Republican Party, the Civil Rights Bill would not have been signed by Johnson. Now, say what you will about history and about the two parties. I'm not a big fan of the two-party system. I don't believe that that's what the founders had in mind when they penned the Constitution. But I think what has happened with the two-party system is that it has basically been something that's been entrenched in our society, and essentially all of us living today, it's all we've ever known is the two-party system. And as I said, I'm not a big fan, but it's what we have right now. And who knows, we may never get away from this two-party system. It leaves a lot of people behind. It has become a system where only the elite are able to be promoted into office. However, I will add that over the last, I don't know, perhaps 5 or 10 years, a lot more people are getting into politics who may not have otherwise been involved in politics because they weren't part of the elite establishment. So to me, that's a good thing. And I think what we need, of course, is term limits, but I'm not here to talk about that one today. Now, it used to be that the Democrats had a monopoly on labor, or the proletariat class, with unions and with all these other so-called situations where Democrats would pander to the working class, to blue-collar workers. A man by the name of Donald Trump sort of drove a wedge into that monopoly because a lot of working-class people in 2016 voted for Donald Trump because even though he was a wealthy guy, he was someone that blue-collar workers in particular could really relate to. And I think that that may have started to swing the tide away from the Democrat Party. I don't know. That's possible. I think a lot of people voted for Trump who were Democrats, who were maybe members of a union, not so much teachers union perhaps, but the pipe fitters union and all these other plumbers, other working class fields. And let's face it, those are the people who make America work. They make America run. If you want somebody to fix your toilet because it's clogged up, who do you call? You call a plumber. If you have an electrical problem, you call an electrician. These are the people that make our lives go. When we need help, they're there. And I'm personally grateful that they are. I try to do a lot of the stuff on my own, but I have a limited capacity to do those things. In any case, I appreciate what these people do on a regular basis. And as I said, they may not be the most educated that we have in our society. And frankly, I don't really care. I think what they do on a daily basis is something that keeps America running. And that's what we need. We don't need a bunch of intellectuals. We already got a bunch of intellectuals in all the colleges and universities throughout the country. And what have they ever done? What have they ever created? I don't know. Unless they've worked in the private sector, they haven't done a whole lot of creating. They're a lot like politicians who don't create wealth. They don't create unimaginable wealth for other people. What they do is they consume wealth. And that consumption is thanks 100% to the taxpayer. I want to read a quote from Marx and the Communist Manifesto relating to the proletariat. And I want you to think about some things that have happened in the past few years that may remind you of some of the things that Marx talks about with the proletariat. He said this, quote, "The proletariat goes through various stages of development. With its birth begins its struggle with the bourgeoisie. At first, the contest is carried on by individual laborers, then by the workpeople of a factory, then by the operatives of one trade in one locality, against the individual bourgeois who directly exploits them. They direct their attacks not against the bourgeois conditions of production, but against the instruments of production themselves. They destroy imported wares that compete with their labor. They smash machinery to pieces. They set factories ablaze. They seek to restore by force the vanished status of the workmen of the Middle Ages." End of quote. I want you to think about what has happened in America since the summer of 2020 and George Floyd. I want you to think about the things that took place with the lawlessness in our country, and really irrespective of the so-called reason, because it could be anything that could trigger this outburst of mob mentality. It happens, and it's happened a lot in our society over the last 20, 30 years. The idea that people just went and smashed and grabbed, they set fires, they destroyed property, they destroyed businesses, they even murdered other people. All of this in an attempt, really, to destroy capitalism. And why would that happen unless there were persons in a political party who were encouraging this kind of behavior? And that they were. There's no doubt about it. I don't know of any Republican who said anything about going out and doing what they did, but there are people in the Democrat Party who absolutely did encourage it. And one of those Democrats is sitting in the office of vice president today. So you go figure that one out. But let's talk about capitalism. What capitalism is, it's an economy that's based in private property ownership. And there's nothing wrong with that. Having property is a basic tenet of the Constitution. It is one thing that we can do as Americans that is protected by the Constitution. It's our right to be able to pursue happiness in whatever lawful form that we decide. In capitalism, we want to accumulate, and it's that accumulation of capital that opens the doors for a lot of us who may not want to be creators in a capitalistic society. Maybe we're content to work for someone else who has made major sacrifices and who has taken the time to work hard and get to a level where they can create a business and provide employment for other people who can then go and earn the kind of wage that they desire. Competition is key in a capitalistic society. Essentially, the ability to create jobs for members of a society is huge. To be able to create an entrepreneurial opportunity that allows even the least among us to rise to a level of success that is not necessarily based on class or how we were born. Now, Marx was all over the fact that the proletariat class would never, ever be able to get out from underneath the screws of the bourgeoisie. There was no way that they were going to be able to improve their lives because the bourgeoisie were selfish, they were capitalist, and they weren't giving opportunities for people in the proletariat. Well, guess what? It's much different in a capitalistic society here in the United States. Someone who is born into rags can create over time, if they desire, a rags-to-riches story. Someone born in another country who doesn't have the opportunity to progress and to be somebody, to, if that's what they want. No one says you have to do these things. No one says you have to be an entrepreneur or that you have to create a business so that you can provide jobs for other people. You don't have to do that in the capitalistic society that we live in. But if you want to, you can, and you shouldn't be penalized for it. I'm so tired of hearing people talk about, politicians that is, talk about the rich paying their fair share. I'll do an episode one of these days on taxes and talk about who is paying their fair share. Definitely, it's the top 5 to 10%, and even the top 1% are paying their fair share and then some. In my view, capitalism has created something that no communist, no socialist form of government could ever create. And to me, that is benefits everybody in our society. And as I said, if your desire is simply to work for somebody else and you want to be able to try to improve yourself in any way that you can to increase your ability to earn, then by all means, you should do that. And if you don't want to take upon yourself the responsibility of creating jobs for other people to do, then that's okay too. But this notion that we need to pit the working class against the creators of jobs is a dangerous road to go down. And politicians, particularly in the Democrat Party, have done nothing but stir that pot for a very long time now. It's ridiculous. I say, let's get away from blaming each other for things. Let's try to get along and try to work together. But politicians, that's just not the way they operate. They want to have an us against them mentality. That's what they want to do. They want to create it and they want to milk it for as long as they can. But I think a lot of people are wising up to their shenanigans, and that's a good thing. Now, please don't get the idea that I think the Republican Party is blameless. They're not. They're often complicit with the Democrat Party, especially when it comes to taxation. They may say they don't like high taxes and they don't favor high taxes, but when push comes to shove, there are Republicans who like to vote for tax increases. It's just something that happens in our politics. It's unfortunate, but I ask, what can we do about it? Well, the thing we can do about it is to try to vote for people who respect the workers, who respect the taxpayers, and try to keep the taxes at a minimum. The unfortunate aspect of politics today is that there is this desire to paint an us versus them mentality and run with it. And they do. And one thing that this current administration seems to have succeeded in doing, and that is weaponizing government agencies to go after political rivals. And of course, they do this under the guise of protecting the republic. They always seem to say the things that they think people want to hear, which often includes, oh, we want to protect the Constitution and our way of life, of course. Now, say what you will, Biden is compromised because of China and the actions of his son. Plain and simple. Why haven't the same people who advocated for the previous president to be removed from office via the 25th Amendment said anything about this current president and using the 25th Amendment to get him out of office? Well, the alternative is not exactly any better, if at all. And naturally, because I say this, I'm a racist. I mean, come on, I have to be a racist because I say something like this. So anyway, this is how we've devolved in our society, that you can't say anything in disagreement of someone from another political party, particularly if they're of another race or of another gender, then you have to be a misogynist or a racist or some other hater. You have to be. What other alternative is there? It can't be because you have an ideological difference with that person. No. It has to be because you clearly hate them because of their sex or because of their race. Come on. That's stupid. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to talk about something that is not stupid. In fact, it's genius. And it's the Declaration of Independence. The founders said this, quote, "The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." End of quote. Now then, what the founders do here is they lay out these various abuses by King George III. And what I want to do is highlight some of those, and I want you to think about the present circumstances that we find ourselves in today. First, they say, quote, "He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good," close quote. In other words, the founders were saying that the colonists were not able to provide for themselves laws because the king denied their right to self-govern or to have laws of their own. They were subject to the monarch. That's how it was. Think about in our society today what an executive order does. It essentially creates law without having to go through the laborious and tedious legislative process. The second abuse that I want to highlight says this, quote, "He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature," close quote. Relinquishing the right of representation is something that we should never, ever submit to in our country. We live in a representative republic, and that's the way it needs to continue to be. Here's another one for you. Quote, "He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance," end of quote. As of 2019, there were approximately 75,000 IRS employees. Now, perhaps you've heard of this so-called Inflation Reduction Act that is currently being bandied about in the Houses of Congress. One aspect of this bill that is being discussed and debated right now is the addition of 87,000 more IRS agents. Now, if you're concerned now about the power that the IRS has, it's going to more than double in size if this bill becomes law. And I've also heard, and why this is the case, I don't know, but the IRS has been stockpiling weapons and ammunition for some time now, and I understand that they have quite the arsenal. Not a good combination to have IRS agents armed. Not a good thing. I mean, come on. What would be the purpose of the IRS having all of these weapons and ammunition but for to go after people who don't comply with their wishes? This, as I said, so-called Inflation Reduction Act needs to be beheaded, needs to be killed, needs to be ended today. The fourth item that I want to refer to from the founders is that they said to King George III that they didn't like the fact that they were imposing taxes on them without their consent. Isn't that interesting? Well, guess what happened in 1913? That's right. The 16th Amendment was passed. And what it could do and what it does now is it taxes income of all varieties, doesn't matter. This is insane that we're dealing with this kind of stuff here in 2022. It's disgusting. I get it. We need a functioning government, but do we need a freaking albatross of a government? I don't think so. The fifth abuse that the founders pointed out for King George was, quote, that he has abdicated government by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us, close quote. Doesn't it kind of seem like our government is waging war on its citizens by doing the things that they're doing? We really got to be careful. We got to watch these people in the government, ladies and gentlemen. We have to watch them. We have to get rid of them if they are usurping the Constitution and ultimately usurping our freedoms. Well, this next one is a gem. The founders said to King George, quote, he has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, close quote. We have had members of this administration, be it current or before they were this administration, who definitely seemed to be exciting, if not inciting, insurrections amongst the people. It's disgusting, as far as I'm concerned. And those who believe that Donald Trump incited the same on January 6th, and they're pursuing that action, well, how about looking at what happened in the summer of 2020 and what one Kamala Harris said as a member of the United States Senate? Go back and research it if you haven't, and you'll see what I'm talking about. This is why it seems we have a two-tiered system of justice in our country today. Next on the list of abuses, they said this, quote, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury, close quote. The First Amendment of the Constitution allows for petitioning the government for a redress of grievances. If we're not able to petition our government and understand that that petition has to be received with the full faith and credit of the United States government, and that if that is not extended to the one who is petitioning redress of grievances, then what's the point? What would be the point of trying to have these grievances redressed if the petitioner didn't have the confidence that the grievance would be taken care of? I mean, it's pointless. Why do it? And finally, they said this, quote, we therefore solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states, end of quote. These things, ladies and gentlemen, and so much more, make the United States of America the greatest idea ever. Well, let me close this episode, ladies and gentlemen, by reading from none other than the Declaration of Independence. Quote, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not 1776, but 2022. And the way that we provide new guards for our future security is at the ballot box. Let's go and let's vote and let's make that happen and put people into office who will respect and have deference to the Constitution. That is my hope. That is my prayer. So if you can think it, you can plan it. If you can plan it, you can do it.